أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد المدحى سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الدنيا حرام على أهل الآخرة والآخرة حرام على أهل الدنيا وهما حرامان على أهل الله صلوات
الله
Our beloved Prophet has said that dunya is haram for those who belong to the akhirat, and akhirat is haram for those who belong to dunya. And dunya and akhirat both are haram for those who belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a matter of fact, we find that Ahlullah, those who belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are so high in their position and levels because when they find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no need remaining for them to turn to anything other than Allah. مَا ذَا وَجَدَ مَنْ فَقَدَكْ وَمَنْ الَّذِي فَقَدَ مَنْ وَجَدَكْ. Look at the dua of Arafah of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. Here he is making clear that مَا ذَا وَجَدَ مَنْ فَقَدَكْ. Someone who lost you, addressing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person who lost you, what did he get? What did he find? That means he found nothing. وَمَنْ الَّذِي فَقَدَ مَنْ وَجَدَكْ. And someone who found you, what did he lose? It's just a matter of our understanding and our ma'rifat and recognition. That if we realize those people who have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have already received everything and do not find any vacuum, So they don't even feel sad over what happens to them. لا يبالي الرجل كيف أصبح بعسر أم بيسر. A person doesn't care in what situation he dawns and enters into his morning, whether he dawns into the morning with hardships and usr and haraj and troubles and turmoils in his life, or he dawns into his morning with comforts and conveniences and luxuries. It really doesn't matter. Because when you have found someone who is the best, then anything else has no comparison to the best. So the point is that this level of ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs to those who love Allah. That's the reason why we find our urafa have defined that the level of ihtiyaj and faqr and feeling the need towards Allah, like I explained to you in one of my previous speeches, the two categories of faqr, al-faqru ila Allah and al-faqru ila nas, being needy towards Allah and being needy towards the people. One is a condemned attribute in Islamic morality. That means you feel your need towards the people. Whereas the other one, al-faqru ila Allah, is a matter of pride and honor for every mu'min. And this is the sign of the anbiya and the imams. That's how they used to be. So when a person, the faqr has been divided into three levels. The first level of faqr is what is called the ma'rifat, and the second level of faqr and poverty and feeling the need towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are always in need of Allah, but sometimes we don't feel the need. So feeling the need that we are in need towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times in our life, in all situations, has been classified into three levels. The first is the ma'rifat, the in-depth recognition of Allah. And the second level is what they call muhabbat and love of Allah. And the third is what they call ishq. That means the deep love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those people who have the ma'rifat of Allah and those people who have the love of Allah or the deep level of love towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have already received everything. They are part of the mukhlaseen. Remember what the Holy Prophet has said in his famous hadith that man akhlasa lillahi 40 sabahan jarat yanabi'ul hikmah min qalbihi ala lisani. Someone who exercises ikhlas to and sincerity towards Allah for 40 mornings, the fountains of wisdom outburst from his qalb and soul and flow over his tongue. This hadith itself is another subject. It requires, you know, months and months or years and years of discussion just about this hadith and its beautiful details. And lots of our urafa have actually talked about this hadith. You know, you can find books of Ayatollah al-Uzma Sayyid Mahdi Tabatabai Bahrul Uloom and other great urafa just elaborating on this one hadith and all the details that this hadith engulfs. This is not the subject of my speech, maybe some other time if Allah wills. But what I was trying to mention here is that this is the level of mukhlaseen, and those of the personalities whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made sincere, and their soul has been made sincere towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the reason that they do not consider anything to be comparable with any gain and achievement in this world or in the akhirat to be comparable with the gain that they have achieved by gaining Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because dunya and uqba, dunya and akhirat, none of them can be compared. I mean, a prophet was given dunya dunya was presented in front of him. And akhirat was also presented in front of him. He did not even care about none of those two. He said, Allah is enough for me. He didn't even care about. Prophet never looked towards the dunya. You know, Prophet didn't have looking towards dunya in a way that you are satisfied with this dunya. Prophet never did that. So, this is the level of those who have deep love towards Allah. So you have to take the level of ikhlas. لا يجد عبد تعمل a person can حقيقة الإخلاص حتى لا يحب أن يحمد على شيء من عمل الله. No one can reach the reality of ikhlas and sincerity towards Allah unless he doesn't like to be praised on any of his actions that he performed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just that you don't yourself show off. Mukhlaseen is not an ordinary level of becoming sincere towards Allah. Because when you are sincere, it's not just that you yourself are not showing off with your actions, but you don't like. That means you dislike to be praised by the people. Look at the beauty of this level. Because you don't have the people in your mind when you did the action or after doing the action. But if somebody has the niyat of riya, riyakari and showing off during the ibadat and worship, the fuqaha, the mushtahideen say the worship becomes batil and void and you have to repeat it again. If I pray in front of the people and I prolong my qunut, the dua of the qunut, so that the people praise, well, this guy is such a nice person, see, he's reading such a long dua, he's so pious, in order to get the praise from the people. If I perform long and lengthy sajdas in front of the community, to get the praise from the community. And some people are like this when they pray in the open, in front of the community, they have a different format of praying, and when they pray the similar prayers in their loneliness, the length of their qunut du'as, the length of their sajdas, the quality of their prayers, the quality of their intentions are totally different. So it's because they don't have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their mind. So basically what I was saying is that ikhlas is a level where you have to take, you know, you have to take the people off your minds, that not just you don't perform any action for the sake of the people, instead you do it for the sake of Allah, but you hate to be praised. You dislike to be praised. Unless you dislike to be praised, you will never reach the haqiqat and reality of ikhlas. How many people dislike to be praised? We are frequently, every now and then, saying, you know, this guy is a very mukhlis mu'min, he's a very mukhlis Muslim, very nice person, he's so mukhlis. Isn't that right? We keep on saying, using this term every now and then towards each other. Look at what the Holy Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Ali alayhi salam. Prophet said to Imam Ali alayhi salam, Ya Ali, lil mukhlis salasu alamatin. Mukhlis has three signs. Bughdul mal, bughdul dunya, wa bughdul ma'siyah. A mukhlis person has three signs. He hates the money, he hates the world, dunya, and he hates the ma'siyat, that means the sin. Again, like I already explained, there's no room for repetition, but just to emphasize for the brothers and sisters who were not present yesterday or day before yesterday when I was explaining that dunya is not bad, it's created by Allah. Money is not bad, it's a ni'mat and blessing of Allah. And this is not what is condemned. What is condemned in the hadith of the Prophet in Abu Bakr is getting attached to your money and getting attached to this material world, having a love affair and attachment, which is the biggest haram. And that's what usually happens when we make more money. The more we get into this dunya, the more we get attached to it. And our attachment, which is found in our qalb, is the biggest haram. That's the foundation of all the rest of the harams. Because once we get attached, then we try to justify the rest of the harams and the rest of the wrong policies that we adopt in our life, because we want to lead a life of convenience. There are lots of Muslims who are actually practicing Islam of convenience. There are two kinds of Islam available. One is the Islam of some people who are having Islam of convenience. Yani maulana hum to yahan rehne ke liye aaye hain, ye sari baatein yahan na kare, hum to yahan rehne ke liye aaye hain. Especially when you talk about the political and social obligations of Islam, so many Muslims are being killed every now and then. The Islamic leader, Samahatul Wali al-Faqih, Hafizahullah, have been pronouncing the Islamic obligations openly. Ayatullah al-Uzma Sistani, may Allah protect him, have been openly mentioning the duty of Muslims. What is taking place, what happened in Gaza. Look at the statements of our great personalities. But despite the fact our leader, our maraje, have been giving open statements, you find some of the people are still avoiding the political obligations of Islam. Because they want to lead an Islam of convenience. This Islam of convenience is not Islam. Islam of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam is the real Islam. So, what I was saying is that Ikhlas is the level of Muhibbeen. Ikhlas is the level of those people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whether we are mukhlis towards Allah or we have some other interests in our mind when we are doing the worships, it is tested at the time of different tests that arrive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iblis was also a very good worshipper, a very big worshipper, I mean. He worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 6,000 years. When Prophet went on Mi'raj and ascension, he found four member up there, which were, you know, burnt down by the fire and ghadab and wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he was told by Jibreel that these four members were the one where Shaitan used to sit and deliver sermons to the angels of Allah. Because he was the muallim of malaika. He was the teacher of the angels. But when the turn arrived for the khilafat and walayat and imamat, khilafat of Hazrat Adam, and Allah commanded all the angels and shaitan. Shaitan was not part of the angels, like some people think. Shaitan was a jinn, kana min al-jinn. But since he was there with the angels, some people think that he was part of the angels. So when Allah commanded them to prostrate and do the sajda in front of Adam alayhi salam, we find the reality of those 6,000 years of worship appeared. Allah knew it already. The kufr of shaitan and the nifaq and hypocrisy of shaitan and the takabbur and arrogance and istikbar of shaitan was known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right from the beginning. None of his worships were accepted right from the beginning. But the angels did not know. And in order for the angels, you know, in order for the kufr and nifaq of shaitan to be discovered, for the inkishaf and discovery of the kufr and nifaq of shaitan, we find that this happened when the test arrived. So now Allah commanded all of them to do the sajda. وَنَفَقْتُ فِيهَ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. So we find Allah commanded everybody to drop down into sajda. So shaitan didn't do the sajda. Aba wastakbara wa kana min al kafirin. Shaitan rejected to do the sajda. And so shaitan basically was, in other words, he was a kafir person. He was never a Muslim. And this sajda of, you know, actually, it's an elaborate discussion in our tafsir, that this sajda that Allah commanded to be performed in front of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was actually not the sajda for Hazrat Adam. It was كَانَ لِلَّهِ عُبُودِيَّةً وَتَعْظِيمًا وَإِكْرَامًا لَنَا. If this sajda was for the sake of ubudiyyat and worship of Allah, and for the sake of ta'zeem and ikram and respect and honor of us. So the hadith, we learn in the light of the hadith that the sajda was towards Prophet Adam, but for the sake of Allah, and to show the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is honoring the noor of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, who are the real al-insan al-kamil, the real perfect humans who are found in the sulb of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. So, all the Prophets stood in need of the Holy Prophet, not just in the time of their life, but even after their resurrection on the Day of Judgment. All the Prophets stand in need. You know, Adam wa man dunahu tahta liwa'i. Adam and all those other than him are under my banner. Kuntu ma'al anbiya'i sirran wa ma'a rasulillahi jahran. Like Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam said, that I was with all the Prophets of God hiddenly, and with Rasulullah, with the Messenger of Allah, openly. So all the Prophets of Allah were receiving the help from Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and the fav and fuyuz and barakat and blessings of Allah were arriving to all the messengers and prophets of God other than the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All the rest of the prophets were receiving, all the rest of the prophets were receiving the fuyuz and barakat and blessings of Allah through the Imam of the time. Wasitatul Fad. Assalamu alayka ayyuha sabab al-muttasil bayn al-ard wa al-sama. That's how we address the Imam of our time. My salam to you, O you who are the link between the heavens and earth. If the Imam of the time is taken away, there is no link between alam al-mulk and alam al-malakut, alam al-madda and alam al-tajarrud. You know, this dunya and alam al-ghayb, the alam al-shuhud and alam al-ghayb, there's no link remaining. And as soon as the link is removed, the whole universe would be devastated. So the very survival of the entire universe depends on this wasatatul fayl, through whom this means of Allah's blessing, which is the Imam of the time, through whom, because he's the closest person to Allah, and through him, all the blessings of Allah are arriving for whomsoever the blessings are arriving, including the Prophets. So, in the time of Mansur Dawanati la'anatullah alayh, we find when he brought 70 of those magicians from the city of Babul and Harak in order to insult Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and he called, you know, when all those magicians were gathered in his darbar, and Mansur was sitting on his throne, and finally he ordered his people to go and bring Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and he already made the whole plan how to insult the Imam. He made a plan with those magicians. And then when Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was brought, and these magicians, these 70 magicians from Babel, they already drew some pictures of some wild animals and put those pictures next to them. Each of those magicians made pictures of some wild animals and beasts and put those pictures next to them before the whole scenario took place. Now that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam arrived into that gathering, he was brought into that gathering, and he had a look towards the magicians. He said that, do you know who I am? I was the one. I am that hujjat of Allah who invalidated the magic of your ancestors in the time of Hazrat Musa. Just what I was talking about moments ago, that the Imam of the time is the wasatatul fair, is the means of every blessing of Allah coming to whomsoever, including the Prophets. I was the hujjat of Allah who was invalidating the magic of your ancestors in the time of Hazrat Musa. And then he commanded those pictures that these these silly magicians have drawn and put next to them of those wild animals, he commanded those pictures and said, grab your companions. Each one of those pictures got converted immediately into those animals, and they gulped and ate up that magician who was sitting next to them.
Then we find when this incident happened, Harun al-Rashid is sitting on his throne. He got so much, you know, shocked, and that he became unconscious and he fell down from his royal throne.
And after a while, when he became conscious and he found all those magicians are gone, there's nobody available,
and then he started to beg Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, so please forgive me for the whole plan that I made against you.
And then he started to request Imam Sadiq alayhi salam to bring all those magicians back to me. And Imam said, if the stick of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam had brought those magicians, you know, Hazrat Musa had that mu'jiza and miracle given by Allah, that he used to throw his stick and it got converted into a huge snake, and that snake actually, by the miracle of Allah, eat up all those small, you know, snake looking ropes that the magicians threw in the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said that if the stick of Hazrat Musa have brought out the ropes, or those snakes, in other words, those snakes of the magicians in the time of Hazrat Musa, then these animals will also bring back these magicians.
So basically, since the stick of Hazrat Musa didn't bring
back those ropes, so this magician you are never going to see them. So we find, brothers and sisters, that Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, he was the jihad of the sajda. He was the direction of the sajda. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Prophet Adam to be the khalifa on this earth.
Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. And Allah's Khilafat was located in this earth. Not that the Khilafat of Allah is isolated in this planet earth only.
No.
You know, Khilafat of Allah is not isolated into this planet.
The Khilafat, the Khalifa of Allah is located on this planet. Not that the Khilafat is isolated in this and restricted in this planet only. The Khilafat has no limits. Khilafat is engulfing every creature and every existence that Allah has created. The entire universe, not just this planet. The Khalifa is just located on the planet.
Don't mix these two things. There's a huge difference between these two points. Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. Grammatically speaking, in terms of Arabic grammar, that the word ja'il, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making the fil arz, you know, al jar wal majrur. This, according to those of you who know the Arabic grammar, they can understand the jar and majrur. They stand in need of a muta'allaq, and the muta'allaq of jar and majrur is in ja'ilun fil arz khalifa, is the word ja'il. It's not the word khalifa, because the khilafat is not restricted to this earth only. The jar and majrur are mutalliq to the word, you know, ja'il. So Allah is making the khalifa on earth. Not that the khilafat is restricted to this planet only. There's a huge difference in that. Khilafat and governance right has been awarded to Insan-e-Kamil. So any human being who is perfect in his spirituality. Since the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt are the most perfect human beings, that's the reason they are the most highest level of khulafa and awliya, and highest level of imams, and highest levels of wali and mawla assigned by Allah. Hazrat Adam was also a khalifa, but then there are levels of khilafat depending on the level of your ismat and infallibility, the level of your taharat and cleanliness of the qalb and the soul. there's nobody who can be compared to the cleanliness of the soul and the level of infallibility of the Holy Prophet in Ahlul Bayt. And that's the reason they have al-walayatul takwiniyatul mutlaqa. That means the absolute control and power and rule and governance over the entire universe. Because they have the highest level of infallibility, highest level of taharat of the qalb. So we find that my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafidhahullah was saying in his tafsir that if, please pay attention, if someone claims that the entire Holy Quran, the ayat of Khilafat, where Allah is talking about his Khilafat in this world, my teacher said, if this ayat of Khilafat, we call it Ayatul Istikhlaf. In tafsir, we refer to this ayat as Ayatul Istikhlaf. He said, if somebody claims that the entire Holy Quran is actually sent down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do the tafsir of this one ayat of Holy Quran, which is the Ayatul Istikhlaf, he said the truth. So now you understand the point that why the Holy Quran has been sent by Allah on the Holy Prophet. The entire purpose of the Holy Quran is to do the whole Quran is custom made and sent down by Allah for doing the tafsir of one ayat of Quran. But unfortunately, we find it's a pathetic situation that the believers of Islam are not ready to believe in the walayat for and khilafat for which the entire Quran has been sent to do the tafsir of the ayat of khilafat.
How pity it is.
We thank Imam Khomeini radhiyallahu anhu, because he was the one who connected the Islamic Ummah with the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam. This Islamic revolution is actually the reconnect of the Islamic Ummah with the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, because we got so much disconnected
with the Khilafat and Walayat
theory of Islam that now people are saying that, well, we never heard about the Walayat. A Shia person, an Isna Ashari person who becomes a Shia because he believes in the Walayat is saying that we have nothing to do with the Walayat. Isn't that a pity? How far we have gotten from the concept of Khilafat and Imamat and Walayat, whereas the whole Quran has been sent to elaborate one ayat of Holy Quran, which is talking about the Khilafatul Ilahiyya and the Walayat concept of Islam. How far we have gotten from the Walayat of Ahlul Bayt. Unfortunately, that was the pathetic situation of the community. So, on the other hand, you find when the Polish government has discovered a graveyard in Poland, and the Polish Parliament was trying to install crosses over the graves, the Zionist Jews have been protesting from all over the world that you guys don't have the right to put crosses over those unknown graves, because this way you are decreasing sympathies and our mazlumiyat in the eyes of the world, because maybe there were some Jews also who were persecuted in the Nazi regime times, and by putting crosses, you are decreasing the sympathy that the world has towards us. Look at the behavior of how they are behaving towards their political goals, and look at the behavior how our community is behaving towards our leadership and our political goals and our central leadership and central state and the phenomena of walayat in Islam. That's how you find the Zionist product being distributed in different Islamic centers, in the Tabarruk, in the Niyaz, in the food that we supply. How far we are from the basic. These are very basic things. This is not a rocket science. These are very basic things that we all can very easily learn and understand and implement. But it's a matter of understanding. Lots of people are ignorant towards the social duties of Islam.
Lots of people are, you know, ignorant towards the political duties of Islam. They think Islam is just a religion that they need to practice personally. And they fail to understand the entire concept of the Islam of the Holy Prophet and Islam of Amir al-Mu'mineen al-Islam, which was entirely a religion which has everything to do with the society and social justice system.
Islam presents the al-adalat al-ijtima'iyyah,
social justice. We don't believe in rahbaniyat and breaking away from the whole society. We believe in breaking away from dunya, not the society. They are two different things.
So we find that in the, please say salawat. So, shaitan did takabbur. Shaitan rejected to do the sajda because Abba was takbara. He had the istikbar, arrogance. Allah dislikes the arrogance. You know, and this is how his ibadat and worship of 6,000 years was discovered by the angels, by everybody else, by all of us. We all discovered that for all those 6,000 years of worship are useless because one moment of arrogance is intolerable by Allah. One moment of arrogance in front of the command of Allah is intolerable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, those people who are arrogant, the hadith says, they will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment in the form of zarat, particles. All the billions and billions and billions of human beings on the Day of Judgment will crush those human beings who will be resurrected in the form of particles because of their arrogance back then in the life of this dunya, and everybody will be crossing over them and crushing them under their feet. And once the, when the hisab and accountability of all the humans would take place, finally the turn of the arrogant people will arrive at the end. Everybody will crush them and cross over them. How much Allah hates the arrogance. The entire concept of sajda in Islam, one of the very benefits of sajda is to crush this ego. The ego problem, you know, that we have, the ego and arrogance. Maniyat, man, ana, this ananiyat. Lots of people have this ego problem. They are not less in number. And shaitan also said to Allah, "Urfuni min as-sujood li iblis, la a'budannaka ibadatan lam ya'budkaha ahadun ghayr." O my Lord, make me exempt from doing the sajda towards Adam. Urfuni min as-sujood li Adama. Make me exempt from the sajda towards Adam, and I'm going to do that kind of worship towards you that no one other than me would have ever done such a worship. Allah said, I don't need your worship. I want you to do the ibadah the way I am commanding you. So we get the theme that actually ibadah, Allah wants us to obey His Khalifa and Madhar and Insani Kamil. This sajda was actually for the ubudiyat and worship of Allah, and ta'zeeman wa ikraman lana, for the sake of ta'zeem and honor and ikram and respect of us, the Ahlul Bayt. Allah is trying to teach the angels and shaitan that you've got to be obedient towards the wali and mawla of your time. You like it or not, that's the top of the list agenda in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unless and until you learn to behave with the Imam of your time and the Wali and Mawla of your time, none of your worships are accepted. Everything will be wrapped up. All your prayers, Salat and Psalm and fasting and Zakat and Fitrah and Khums and Jihad and Amr bil Ma'ruf, and everything will be wrapped and thrown back at your faces. Allah doesn't stand in here none of those ibadat. First things first. Learn to behave towards the Imam of the time first. Otherwise everything would be thrown back. Are we ready to obey? That's the key question. When you talk to people, who is a religious person? Go and do a survey in the Islamic Shia communities all over the world. Who is a religious person? Ask this question to the people. You're very likely to receive
this answer from a large number of people, a religious person is somebody who prays, who fasts, who has a beard. If we are very much religious, we maybe go performing Salatul Layl, Namaz al-Shab, the night prayers. But lots of times you would never find an answer from a lot of people. Unfortunately, you would never find an answer from a lot of people saying that a religious person is the one who serves the Imam of the time. A religious person is the person who serves the social and political duties towards the Wali and Mawla of his time. No mention of the political and social duties. All we mention, all a lot of people mention, is the personal type of duties in Islam. Although in the real sense, those duties are not even personal. Even our prayers in the real sense is not personal. But people think it's personal, that's why they are ready to do it, because it falls in the category of Islam of convenience for them. If their prayers was harming their material interests, they would have long quitted the prayers, just like they have already quitted and left out the most superior of all the duties. So lots of people are praying because it doesn't harm their interests. It doesn't cost you much, thus you can spare 5 minutes of your time, stand in a corner and pray. It doesn't harm your material interests in this world, isn't that right? If the prayer, the same prayer was harming their social and political and material interests, lots of people would have even lost the prayers. Because what matters most is to protect our dunya in the interests of this dunya. That's the way people behave. You know, we turn to the Ahlul Bayt, we come to the Mawlana, please give me some dua, my son is sick, my daughter, I want to marry my daughter, I lost my job, you know, my business is going down, please give me some dua, some hijab, some uda, some taweez, something. Because now I feel that I stand in need of Ahlul Bayt. So when we feel the need of Ahlul Bayt, now we are turning to the Mawlana. Isn't that right? How selfish our behavior towards the Ahlul Bayt. We turn to Ahlul Bayt for the fact, what does Imam Mahdi Rasulullah mean for me? How do people think like this? Is there anything I can do for the walayat of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam? What am I supposed to do towards him? Is he expecting something from us as a community? How many of us go and protest for the Yawm al-Quds? Whether you pray or you don't, if I pray, I'm actually serving my own spirituality. I'm not serving the Islamic Ummah by my prayers. I'm not serving the walayat of Imam Mahdi al-Islam with my prayers. I'm serving my own soul. I'm doing a favor to my own spirituality. Prayers is the pillar of the religion. It's a very, very, very important version of Islam. But if I pray, I'm serving my own self. Isn't that right? I didn't benefit you. If I stop praying, I'm doing zulm and oppression on my own soul. I didn't do no zulm on you or the Islamic Ummah. Isn't that right? But if we do not participate in the social and political obligations of Islam, we did a zulm on the entire Islamic Ummah.
Kis-kis se jaake aap maafi maangte karenge? If you do a zulm towards the entire Islamic Ummah,
can you seek forgiveness from all the Islamic Ummah? Because we don't consider Islam and politics to be one.
And that's the reason we have been suffering. We have been paying the price big time over the centuries. Because we separate religion from politics. The highest we reached is we started performing personal wajibat of Islam. And we think we are very religious people because we now started personal wajibat. Look at the behavior, look at the take we have. How much we understand the seerat-e-siyasi, the political seerat of Amir al-Mu'mineen Islam. Look at the book of Shaheed Mutahri Rahmatullah. It's such a nice, all of his books are nice. But one of the books that I personally like very much is the Jazibayn wa Dafi'ay Ali. The attractive and repelling forces in the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam.
Whom did Imam Ali attracted towards himself? And whom were those people whom Imam Ali distracted away, kept them off, away from himself? He didn't like those people to come close. Because he loved these people and he hated those people. Why did he love these people? What were the ingredients and components of their spirituality found in their souls that forced Imam Ali to love this category of people and attracting them towards himself? And what were the components of the evil spiritual attributes found in that category of people which he repelled away from him? And why were they repelled? This is such a nice discussion. Imam Ali has prayed for some people and he has sent his la'nat on some people. We need to realize those some and those some. Isn't that right?
So that we fall among those categories for whom Imam Ali has prayed. And we don't end up falling in that category for whom Imam Ali repelled away from his personality. It's such a nice discussion. Jazb and dafa, hub and bughd, jaziba and dafya of Imam Ali alayhi salam, attracting and repelling forces. It's such a beautiful discussion. Lots of people don't understand the political seerah.
Why Imam Ali distanced himself from some people, and who were those some people? And why he got close to some other people?
So we find that all the muqarrab people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are his beloved. And when you become mukhlis and sincere towards Allah, even your mistakes will be easily forgiven. Because you have ikhlas and love towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you show arrogance, then your mistake will also is very less likely or impossible to be forgiven, because the justice has to be served. No one is above the law. And we should never try to escape the law. So all the anbiya, Al-Adab didn't do a sin when he ate from the fruit of the tree. فَعَسَىٰ آدَمُ رَبَّهُ When Quran is talking about using the word ghawa, it has been interpreted in the tafsir by our scholars that this means khaba. That means Prophet Adam bi behremand. Hazrat Adam bi mahrumu. He could not benefit. It was not wajib on him to do that. It was not part of all of the tashreeh. It was not wajib on him. It was something that was better to do, but he didn't do. This was just a turkul awla. Something that he should better avoid, but he did not avoid. He didn't do any haram. He was a prophet. Prophets never do a haram. And Adam is a mahbub and beloved person of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the beloved persons of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never perform any zulm. Because Zalimeen are never beloved of Allah. In Allah, la yuhibbu Zalimeen. Quran has already made clear. In Allah, this is the policy of Allah. Allah does not love the Zalimeen. So every kind of zulm has to be avoided. If we want to remain beloved of Allah, we need to avoid all those things which are categorized in the Sharia of the Holy Prophet as zulm, quote unquote, zulm. Any kind of oppression and zulm has to be avoided. The moment we do a zulm, then we are no longer beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah has said in Allah, la yuhibbu al-zalimeen. Allah doesn't love the zalimeen. وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. In another verse of Holy Quran, Allah says, whosoever does ta'addi, if you transgress the limits of Allah, if you violate the limits of Allah, whosoever violates and transgresses, he has actually done zulm on his own self. Not following the commands of Allah, not obeying the commands of Allah is another zulm. Also, Quran has said that وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. That whosoever does not do the hukm according to what Allah has revealed, all the revelation that has been revealed on the Holy Prophet, if our decision making and hukm is not according to what Allah has revealed upon the Holy Prophet, then we are part of the zalimeen. Also, Allah has said in the Holy Quran, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Whosoever doesn't do tawbah, that means that after we do a sin, we don't do tawbah. Then we become zalim. فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. They are the ones who are zalim. So after doing a sin, if we don't do the tawbah, then we fall in the category of zalim. So now I mentioned in front of you three instances which are different from each other. And if we do any of those three things, we fail to remain mahbub and beloved of Allah, and we fall in the category of zalimeen and oppressors. Whether we violate the limits of the sharia, or if we start doing hukum against what Allah has revealed in the Holy Quran, or after doing the sin, we do not do the tawbah, then we become zalim.
And as soon as we become the zalim, Allah doesn't like us. In Allah la yuhibbu al-zalimeen. Allah doesn't love the zalimeen. During the time of Yahya al-Barmaki, this zalim tawhut, so we find he learned that there was a guy available in the town who makes very nice pens. In old days, people used to, you know, make pens of cane or wooden pens to write things. So he learned about this such and such person available in the town who makes, and he's a very nice craftsman, he makes nice pens, wooden pens. He sent his people to bring that guy. I want three pens. The guy showed up in his darbar, in his palace of Yahya al-Barmaki, and he asked him to make the pens. He made the three pens and he gave it to Yahya. And Yahya started writing with the pen. The guy is walking out of the palace. As soon as he's about to leave the door of the palace, he made a U-turn and came back to Yahya and said, "Give me the pens back." He took the pens back from the hands of the ruler and broke all the three pens, threw it away, and tried to walk out. And Yahya said, "What did you do? Why did you break the pens?" He said, "Because when I was leaving your palace, as if I heard somebody reciting this verse of Holy Quran into my ears. أُحْشُرُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَأَزْوَاجَهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا يَعْبُدُونَ. Gather all those people who did the dhulm and their helpers and companions and what they used to worship. So I don't want in the Day of Judgment that you write down any dhulm, any oppression, any wrongful statement through the pen which I have made for you, and tomorrow on the Day of Judgment I will be resurrected along with you on the Day of Judgment and would end up going to the same destiny of the hellfire where you would go."
Nowadays we find everybody is trying to become Ali ibn Yaqeen. जिसे देखो अली इब्ने यतीम के बहाने से ताबूतों की चापलूसियां हो रही हैं, नौकरियां हो रही हैं ताबूतों की, हर आदमी अली इब्ने यतीम का बहाना लेके कानून अपने हाथ में लेके तमाशा बना रहा है, शरीयत का खेल खेल रहे हैं इमाम सादिक की शरीयत से. We are trying to play. We can fool of ourselves. Nauzubillah, nauzubillah. We cannot fool the Imam of our time. You know, the same Imam Qadim alayhi salam, who is who allowed Ali ibn Yaqeen to work because he deserved to that level of Iman to serve the Islamic Ummah by going into that job, and he was, according to Al-Hukm al-Sanawi, with the ism of the wali of his time, Imam al-Qadim alayhi salam. Well, if you want to take the ism from Wali al-Faqih, go and take. How many people are taking the ism from the Islamic leader? Don't try to violate the law. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. We say our salam to Ayatollah Nuzma Sistani, hafizahu Allah. To this date, he is not even ready to talk to any zalim. Isn't that right? To this date, he is not even ready to sit with any zalim. Look at the character of our great personalities. And look at some people who are doing their hubbud dunya. They are doing apni dunya dariya, apni dukan dari chamka rahe hain, deen ke naam pe.
Our Maharaj have said such an Islamic leader has already made clear what's the Islamic policy. Our Maharaj has already made clear what's the Islamic policy. There's no ambiguity in their behavior. There's no ibham in their behavior. The same Imam Qadim alayhi salam who was allowing Ali ibn Yaqeen, because he took the izn from the Imam and he deserved to do, and he was serving the Islamic Ummah with his job, the same Imam Al-Qadim al-Islam, when he meets, you know, Safwan ibn Mahran al-Jamal. You must have heard the whole story from the scholars already. The person who used to rent his camels to the, you know, to people. The same Imam Qadim al-Islam is objecting on Safwan ibn Mahran. Because not everybody deserves to do that job. Not everybody belongs to that level of ma'rifat and iman to do that. So, and even the same Ali ibn Yaqeen, the same Ali ibn Yaqeen, once he was not ready, once he did not serve one of the mu'mineen in the city of Kufa, and when he went for Hajj, and after Hajj he went to see the Imam Qadim al-Islam in Medina, and Imam al-Islam did not open the door for him. So, Hajaba Ali ibn Yaqeen Ibrahim al-Jamal fa Hajabahu Musa al-Qadim alayhi salam. Ali ibn Yaqeen did not serve one of the Shias, one of the followers of Ahlul Bayt, who was called Ibrahim al-Jamal in the city of Kufa. This poor Shia man came to the doorstep of Ali ibn Yaqeen. Ali ibn Yaqeen did not help. And now after a while, when he did this kind of bad behavior towards Ibrahim al-Jamal, and after a long while when he went to Hajj, and after Hajj it is so much mustahab and sawab to go for the Imam and the ziyarat of the Imam, especially the Imam of your time, because the Hadith says, Tamamul Hajj liqa'ul Imam. The completion and perfection of your Hajj is to meet the Imam. So those people's Hajj is perfect and complete who meet the Imam of their time. Tamamul Hajj liqa'ul Imam. Imam of the time comes at Hajj on every year. If you want your Hajj to be complete and perfect, you have to meet the Imam of your time. Tamamul Hajj liqa'ul Imam. If you don't have the liqa of Imam, then your Hajj is not kamil and perfect. So Ali ibn Yaqeen, after Hajj, he went to see Imam Qadim alayhi salam. He knocked the door, the Imam didn't open the door. And he was very anxious. He said, what happened? What did I do wrong? He said, Imam mentioned the same story, what he did towards Ibrahim, that poor Shia man, poor guy in Kufa. He didn't serve him. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, I made a mistake. When I go back all the way from Medina, from this Arabian peninsula, all the way to Iraq in Kufa, I will apologize from him. Imam still didn't get pleased. He said, well, I'm here in Medina, what can I do right now? I just want to see you. Imam still didn't open the door for him. Don't try to violate the law, okay? Because justice has to be served. And then Imam commanded to him, go to Baqi graveyard and you're going to find a camel there waiting for you, and that camel is going to take you miraculously, momentarily it will take you to, miraculously it's going to take you to, from Medina to Kufa, and go and meet with Ibrahim al-Jamal right now and seek forgiveness from him first and then come back to me. Do we give the similar kind of importance to hukukun nas, the social obligations in Islam? How many people give this kind of importance? We can do tuhmat, we can do ghibat, we can do backbiting, we have no control over our tongue. We can play around with the respect and dignity of people as easily as if it's just a walk in the park, it's nothing. As if nothing happened. But this is very important in the eyes of Ahlul Bayt. Whether we hold that sort of importance or not, that's our problem. The hukum of Allah is not left at the mercy of us accepting it or practicing it or not accepting it, not practicing it. Hukum shall continue to be the same unless and until we come to our senses and we adjust our behaviors and adapt ourselves according to what Allah has commanded in the Holy Quran and the teachings of Prophet So now Ibrahim al-Jamal came back miraculously. He came to the Baqi graveyard, found the camel there. He rode the camel. Camel took him miraculously to the city of Kufa. In the middle of the night, he arrived in the city of Kufa, knocking the door. This wazir and deputy of Harun al-Rashid, la'anatullah alayh, is knocking. knowing that such a huge man, big man, you know, second in power after Harun al-Rashid's grand Islamic empire, is this great man is knocking the door of such a poor person in the slum district of Kufa in the middle of the night. Ibrahim al-Jamal, this poor guy, he came out of his house, he felt, oh, the Yateen is there at my door. What happened? And he tell the whole story. I went to see Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam for his ziyarat after Hajj, and Imam didn't open the door. Because remember, once you came to me and I turned you down and did not serve you, and that is so much hated by Imam Kadhim alayhi salam that he's not even ready to see me because of this bad behavior that I did towards you. So I came here to seek apology from you first. If you don't forgive me, Imam Kadhim alayhi salam is not ready to even look at my face. He said, okay, that's fine. You know, he was a nice woman, you know. He said, okay, I forgive you, that's okay. I said, no, this is not enough for me. I will put my head here in front of you and you have to put your feet on my neck so that I can show the mark of your feet, of your shoe, on my neck to Imam Kadhim alayhi salam. That I am seeking your apology. But Ibn Yaqeen is not an ordinary person, he's a very pious man. It's not easy to do that, brothers and sisters. It's not easy to apologize like this. Because if somebody fears Allah, then he's going to do like this. And finally, when he came back to Imam Kadhim alayhi salam, he accepted him and greeted him, you know, and accepted him the same way like he used to greet. Salawat. So it's the matter of our awareness. It's a matter of how much tafaqquh fi deen and basirat and insight of the religion we enjoy. What Imam Salih Islam had already said, that tafaqquhu wa illa fa antum a'rab. Learn the Islamic insight, tafaqquh, in depth. Fiqh in Arabic, it means al-fahmul amiq, in depth understanding. Tafaqquh means, that means you have in-depth understanding and insight about the religion and its concepts and its principles and values. How much do you understand Islamic and Quranic concepts? This shows your highness. Highness in Islam. So tafaqquh fi deen. لَوَدَدْتُ أَنَّ أَصْحَابِي ظُرْبَتْ رُؤُوسُهُمْ بِالسِّيَاطِ حَتَّى يَتَفَقَّهُوا. The hadith says, I love that my companions, their heads are hit by slashes so that they end up having understanding of the religion. Lots of people, you know, are worshipping and praying and fasting, they don't have the basirat and understanding of the religion. Just piling up their ibadat, one over the other, and they don't know and they don't have yaqeen and certitude whether or not any of those ibadat are accepted by Allah or not. They don't have no yaqeen. Because they have no understanding and basirat. Imam Ali Islam has already said in Nahjul Balagha, لَا يَقْبَلُ اللَّهُ عَمَلًا إِلَّا بِمَعْرِفَةٍ. Allah does not accept no amal without ma'rifat. You have to have basirat, ma'rifat, insight, understanding, recognition. And that's how you will make, you do one thing but do it right. Instead of doing 100 things and you don't know whether or not those 100 are accepted. So we find tafaqquh is very much emphasized. And even in the time, according to what some of the scholars have narrated, the only person which Imam Hussain alayhi salam invited was the person who was faqih. Isn't that right? Imam Hussain Islam is, you know, is ghani, is mustaghni, is the manhar of the ism and name of al-ghani of Allah. He doesn't stand in need of nobody. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't stand in need of nobody, Imam Hussain Islam is the al-manharul akmal, the most perfect reflection of all the names and sifat and attributes of Allah. He doesn't stand in need of nobody. But Imam Hussain is writing letter to whom? To one person, you know, min al-Hussain ibn Ali ila al-rajul al-faqih, Habib ibn Mubahir al-Asadi. Habibullah al-Mawahir, from Hussein, the son of Ali, to the man who has in-depth understanding of the religion, is Faqih, Habib, the son of Mawahir. This was the mercy of Imam Hussein upon Habib, and Imam Hussein has wrote letter to him. This was a favor of Imam Hussein upon Habib to invite him so that Habib can succeed and become shaheed and reach those high levels. This is an ihsan and favor of Imam Hussein upon Habib ibn Mubahir. Imam Hussein doesn't stand in need of nobody. We stand in need of Ahlul Bayt if we understand properly. So when Hazrat Mubahir Rahmatullah alayhi wa salamullah alayhi, his father, the father of Hazrat Habib ibn Mulahir, Hazrat Mulahir, he came once to for the ziyarat of Rasulullah, and Hazrat Habib was a young boy at that time. We find that Imam Hussain Islam is a small boy and he was walking, and Habib is walking behind Imam Hussain, picking up the soil from under the feet of Imam Hussain and putting the soil over his head. This behavior of Habib was so much loved by the Holy Prophet, the Prophet could not stand it. He just went and he showed his affection towards Habib. Prophet loved Habib ibn Mulahir. And this, the way of upbringing of Hazrat Mulahir, was the reason, one of the reasons why you find Habib is like this. When Imam Hussain has written this letter, you know, and he said in his letter that Habib, you know, I am surrounded by the enemies. وَأَنْتَ تَعْلَمُ قَرَابَتِي مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, and you know my relationship with Rasulullah. Habib knows the relationship of Imam Hussein with Rasulullah very well. That when Imam Hussein alayhi salam is a young boy and Prophet is doing his sajda in Masjid al-Nabi, and Imam Hussein comes over the back of Rasulullah, when Prophet was about to take his head up from the sajda, Allah sends Jibreel that you don't raise your head until Hussein gets off your back himself. So Prophet had to repeat, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdi, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdi, 70 times, 70 times. In the respect and ta'zeem of Imam Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam, but he did not remove Imam Hussein from his back. So now you remember the karabat, the relationship that Imam Hussein enjoyed towards Rasulullah. It's not an ordinary level. Al Hasan wal Hussein, Sayyida Shabab Ahl al Jannah, they are the two leaders of the youth of paradise. Al-Hasan in al-Husayna misbahul huda wa safinatul najatin. Hussein is the torch of guidance and the boat of success. Inna Allah khalaqa al-jannata min nuril Husayn. The hadith of Imam Sadiq al-Islam says, Allah created the paradise from the noor of Husayn. So, Habib ibn Mulahir is reading the letter of Imam Hussein that I'm surrounded by the enemies. وَأَنْتَ تَعْلَمُ قَرَابَتِي مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, and you know my relationship with Rasulullah. If you can come to help us, come. اگر ہماری مدد کو پہنچ سکتے ہو تو آ جائیں. حبیب نے خط لیا, اپنی آنکھوں سے لگایا, اس کا احترام کیا, اور اس کے بعد اب جو گھر میں داخل ہوئے, when he entered into the house and his wife inquired from him, whose letter is this? And he said, this is the letter of Hussein ibn Ali. She said, what did my Mawla is writing in the letter? And Habib said, that Mawla is saying that I am surrounded by the enemies. And you know my relationship with Rasulullah. If you can come to help us, come. She said, what did you think? Habib said, well, I am thinking about you. If I leave you alone, what is going to happen to you? And she said that the son of Fatima is calling you for help and you are thinking about me? If you are not going to go to help Imam Hussein alayhi salam, I am going to go myself to help my Mawla. بعض روایتوں میں ہے کہ اس مومنہ نے اپنی چادر اٹھا کے حبیب کی طرف پھینکی اور کہا کہ اگر تم مولا کی مدد کو نہیں جاؤ گے تو میں خود اپنے مولا پر جان کو دان کرنے کے لیے جاؤں گی. یہ سننا تھا کہ حبیب نے کہا مومنہ میں تو تیرا امتحان لے رہا تھا, یہ کیسے ہو سکتا ہے کہ میرے مولا مجھے بلائے اور میں ان کی مدد کو نہ پہنچوں, یہ تو کیسے ہو سکتا ہے. حبیب نے اپنے غلام کو گھوڑا دے کر روانہ کیا, فلا مقام پہ پہنچ جاؤ, کوفے کی ناکہ بندی ہوئی ہے, ابن زیاد کی فوجوں نے گھیراؤ کیا ہوا ہے, فلا مقام پہ اس رہبر کو لے کے پہنچ جاؤ اور میرا انتظار کرنا. اب جو حبیب کے پہنچنے میں تھوڑی تاخیر ہوئی تو پہنچتے تو دیکھا کہ غلام میرے گفتگو ہے غلام اور گھوڑے سے بات کر رہا ہے کہ اگر میرا آقا تم پہ سوار ہو کر جانے کے لیے نہ پہنچا تو گھبراؤ نہیں, ارے میں خود جاؤں گا تم پہ سوار ہو کے مولا حسین پہ جان قربان کرنے کے لیے. یہ سننا تھا ایک مرتبہ حبیب طرف گئے, کہا مولا آپ پہ کیسا وقت آ گیا کہ غلام اپنی جان قربان کرنے کے لیے تیار ہو گئے. غلام سے کہا جا تجھے میں نے راہ خدا میں آزاد کیا. غلام کہتا ہے یہ تو انصاف نہیں ہوا, جب تک میں آپ کی خدمت میں رہا مجھے اپنی خدمت میں رکھا اور اب جو مولا حسین کی خدمت میں جا رہے ہیں تو مجھے آزاد کر دیا, میں بھی آپ کے ساتھ چلوں گا تاکہ اپنے مولا پہ جان قربان کر سکوں. غلام کو ہمراہ لیا, ادھر امام حسین رایات تقسیم کر رہے ہیں, کربلا میں پرچموں کی تقسیم ہو رہی ہے, ایک پرچم اٹھا کے مولا نے الگ رکھے رہا, اس پرچم کو الگ رہنے دی, وہ اس کو کسی کو تقسیم نہیں کیا. اب جب پوچھنے والے نے پوچھا کہ مولا اس پرچم کو آپ نے کسی کے حوالے نہیں کیا, فرمایا اس کا حقدار ابھی آنے والا ہے. اور اب جو گرد و غبار نمودار ہوئی کوسے کوفے کی سم سے, بڑھ کے چاہنے والوں نے حبیب نے مظاہر کا استقبال کیا, شہزادی زینب نے فضا کو بھیجا, اب تک تو یہی خبریں آتی رہی تھی عمر ابن سعد کا لشکر آ گیا, اب فلاں لشکر آ گیا, اب جو جا کے فضا نے بتایا کہ مولا کے بچپن کا جانسار حبیب ابن مظاہر اپنی جان قربان کرنے آئے ہیں. مولا پہ ایک مرتبہ شہزادی نے کہا جاؤ حبیب کو میرا سلام کہنا. یہ روایت میں اثردار و عجیب فقرہ ہے, جیسے ہی حبیب نے سنا ایک مرتبہ خاکے کربلا پہ بیٹھ گئے, ایک مرتبہ حبیب خاکے کربلا پہ بیٹھ گئے, خاکے کربلا کو اٹھا کے اپنے سر پہ ڈالنا شروع کیا. ارے کیا زمانہ آ گیا, شہزادیاں غلاموں کو سلام کہہ رہی ہیں. ازادارو جب یہ لٹا ہوا قافلہ کربلا سے کوفہ پہنچتا ہے اور وہاں حبیب کے بیٹے قاسم ابن الحبیب کو اطلاع ملی, تب وہ پہنچتے ہیں بازار میں, دیکھا اپنے بابا کا سر ایک گھوڑے کی گردن میں آویزہ ہے, تلوار کھینچ لی, مجھ سے برداشت نہیں ہو سکے گا کہ میں اپنے بابا کا سر اپنے بابا کے قاتلوں کے پاس دیکھوں. ارے جی چاہتا ہے امام سجاد سے عرض کروں مورا نہ جانے آپ کے دل پہ کیا گزری کہ آپ نے کربلا سے کوفہ کوفے سے شام تک بابا کے سر کو اشقیاء و قاتلوں کے پاس.
الا رحمة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا اي منقلب ينقلبون انا لله وانا اليه راجعون. تلاحظ بحق الصحراء وابيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها. اللہ پرچم اسلام کو سر بلند فرما, پرچم کفر و شرک و نفاق کو سر نگون فرما. اللہم انصر الاسلام والمسلمین واخذل الكفار والمنافقین. اللہم انصر من نصر الدین واخذل من خذل المسلمین. اللہم انصر واحفظ وأید علماءنا الربانیین ومراجعنا الربانیین نصیم الولی الفقی قائد المسلمین. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين. اللهم رك عن الأسراء المسلمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين يا حسين.
Ya Hussein, 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 Ya Hussein.